VOA Press Conference USA. Here is your host, Carol Castiel.
Welcome to Press Conference USA on the Voice of America. Joining me on the program is Tra Mi, broadcaster in VOA's Vietnamese service. On this edition of the program, we revisit the Peace Corps with its director, Carrie Hessler Redlett. We last spoke with Ms. Hessler Redlett in 2011 on the 50th anniversary of the organization. Created in 1961 by U.S. President John F. Kennedy, the Peace Corps was established to promote world peace and friendship. I am sure that many of you have come into contact with Peace Corps volunteers in your countries, whether in Africa, Asia, or Latin America. The Peace Corps sends the best and brightest Americans abroad on behalf of the United States to tackle the most pressing needs of people around the world. Volunteers work at the grassroots level to develop sustainable solutions that address challenges in education, health, economic development, agriculture, environment, and youth development. To date, more than 220,000 Americans have served with the Peace Corps in at least 140 countries. We'll talk with Director Carrie Hessler Redlett, who, by the way, was a Peace Corps volunteer in Western Samoa in the early 1980s, about the many positive structural reforms she's introduced, her recent trip to Mongolia, and plans for the Peace Corps' historic new program in Vietnam, among many other issues. Carrie Hessler Redlett, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
I should say welcome back.
Thanks.
And I'm delighted to welcome my colleague, Tra Mi, from Vietnamese service.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, Carrie, you're just back from Mongolia, celebrating the program's 25th anniversary there. Talk about the program, its focus, and what you learned.
You know, it's always wonderful to get out to our volunteer posts and visit, especially on the 25th anniversary. And Mongolia is such a fascinating country, so sparsely populated and huge, but our volunteers are really able to have an impact there because they are living and working in communities throughout the whole country in every single district there. So that's one thing. Our volunteers are working in education and community economic development. There are 141 volunteers currently serving. We met with the president of the country, who was so eloquent about the importance of Peace Corps. He called our volunteers global messengers of peace, and I just thought that was a beautiful way to express it. So I celebrated our 25th anniversary, but I also was able to visit volunteers in their schools, especially. I visited several volunteers who were in schools, and it was wonderful to see the collaboration that they had with their colleagues, their fellow teachers, especially around educating and empowering girls and young men.
Interesting. How about teaching English? Is that a big focus?
Yes, absolutely. Teaching English is our primary goal. Teaching English is a theme, I think, that we see around the world. It is our largest program, and more than half of our volunteers are involved in English teaching.
Let's go back and talk about why the Peace Corps is still relevant more than 50 years after it was founded by President John F. Kennedy.
Thanks. That's a great question. You know, our world is so interconnected, so complex, and so rapidly changing. So I feel that more than ever, Peace Corps is needed to build incredibly strong bonds of friendship between our country and the rest of the world. I think I'd like to just take a moment to revisit our three goals, if I might.
Please do.
First of all, our mission is world peace and friendship. Very broad, but we have three goals to get us there. And the first is a development goal. It is to help our communities to develop the skills and expertise they need to lead their own development. Our second goal is to promote a better understanding of Americans on the part of people served. And then our third goal is to bring the world back home and to educate our fellow Americans about other countries, the countries where our volunteers have served. So the first goal is a development goal. The second and third goals are cross-cultural goals. And I just really feel strongly, and I think evidence points to it, that if America, if the United States is to retain our position in the future, and if we are to be able to work strongly with our partner nations as part of a global community, we need to have Americans who can speak other languages, understand other cultures, and are able to appreciate what they have to bring to the table and to work collaboratively to solve complex issues that face all nations of the world. We also are very committed to building the expertise of our partner nations so that together we can create a global community that does the best we possibly can for all of our citizens around the world.
Well, speaking of partner nations, I'd like to turn to my colleague, Tra Mi. to talk about the historic partnership with her country, Vietnam.
Yes, I'm interested in the Peace Corps operations in the region, Southeast Asian countries, especially in Vietnam.
Yes.
I know that the U.S. and Vietnam in May announced the partnership to establish the first time ever Peace Corps program in Vietnam.
Yes.
I wonder about, you know, the timetable. Why now but not earlier?
You know, that's a good question. We have been interested in establishing a program in Vietnam for some time, but given our history, and I think it's impossible to ignore our history, it takes a long time. And a Peace Corps program is really based on relationships of trust. And so it was the right time. The president was visiting Vietnam. Secretary Kerry has always been such a strong supporter of Vietnam, and the time was right. We had amazing support from the Vietnamese government, and we're just thrilled to be able to support the people of Vietnam and build relationships between our two nations through an education program that really will focus on English education.
How
English
soon this
teaching.
Will take place?
Well, we signed the country agreement in May. I should say that Peace Corps only goes into a country at the invitation of that country. So we never enter on our own. We always wait for a letter from the head of state. So we got that from Vietnam, and then we signed a country agreement that specified exactly what we were going to do, English education, and where we're going to work. And now we have a lot of details to work out. And in fact, I intend to visit Vietnam in October to talk about the next steps. But we will be working just as quickly as we possibly can. It'll probably be at least a year, though, honestly, because we have to establish our agreements. We need to be able to hire staff. We need to be able to identify schools where volunteers can work, host families with whom we can have relationships with volunteers. I mean, there's a great deal that goes into establishing a program, and so that takes time.
At least a year, you said?
At least a year, and it could be longer, for sure.
Okay. Yeah. And how long is the program going to last?
As long as the government of Vietnam wants our volunteers there. Yeah, it's open-ended. Yeah.
And how many volunteers are we thinking of
right now? Well, we always start with a small program. Typically, and I don't know what will happen in Vietnam, but typically we start with about 20 volunteers, and then it will grow. I mean, you saw Mongolia, there's 141 is what I said. That's about a typical size. Yeah, 141, 150 is a good number eventually to end up in, but we're going to start small.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And can you tell a little bit more about the main projects, like what are the upcoming efforts in Vietnam?
Well, really, our main effort is going to be directed towards establishing the program and getting our program in English education started. You know, Vietnam is really ready to fully embrace English language. There's a Fulbright program there, which has been very successful, and we're delighted to partner with our friends from Fulbright. And, you know, it really is about teaching English and providing support to English language teachers. So Vietnamese teachers, so not only learners of English, but also the teachers of English will be supporting them.
But why is teaching English is the main point, is the focus point?
Well, the reason is that's what the government of Vietnam asked for. And we are entirely there at the request of our host nation. So if that's what they want, and as long as it's within our scope of work, we are happy to deliver that.
It's very exciting that you're going to Vietnam. And because the Peace Corps is operating in so many countries, Carrie, I guess the salient question is, where are you not operating, where you would like to operate, and what are the reasons?
Well, you know, we're in more than 60 countries around the world. Historically, Vietnam is our 142nd country. We do go in and out. As I said, we always wait for the host government to request Peace Corps. There are a number of reasons why we have left countries. And the primary reason is that they have graduated, that they have achieved, you know, their goals for development assistance at the community level where Peace Corps is able to contribute. And so we no longer are needed. And that's a happy graduation. We just recently graduated, for example, from Bulgaria and Romania. South Korea is another example of a country that we left a number of years ago. Malaysia, there are a number of different countries where we have recently left. Another new entry for us is Burma, Myanmar. And we're very excited about that program. In fact, volunteers are going to arrive in September. So we're really excited about that program. And they're also going to be teaching English. English education is often the first program that we start. It's an easy program for us to start. It's something that is much wanted and needed by our host country partners. But there are a lot of factors that play into where we are at any given time. And I am happy to say that that is one place where we really are using data to drive our decision making so that we can be sure that with our scarce resources, we are placing our volunteers in places where they can have the greatest impact against the three goals. And so we use a variety of indicators, including development indicators. And for this, we look to the United Nations and their Human Development Index. We also look very carefully at safety and security. And we look at medical care. And we look at, you know, where the government is really interested in working with us. So we occasionally have to leave countries because of unrest. We are not in any countries where there's active, you know, violence, because we can't safely support our volunteers, and that is absolutely our number one priority.
You're listening to Press Conference USA on the Voice of America. I'm Carol Castiel, along with Tra My, broadcaster in VOA's Vietnamese service. Our guest is Carrie Hessler Radlett. She's director of the Peace Corps. This is a reminder that our PCUSA podcast is available for free download on iTunes. You can find the download by clicking on the iTunes tab on our website at voanews.com/PCUSA. You may also follow me on Twitter at Carol Castiel VOA or connect with us on Facebook. And here's a shout out to one of our loyal listeners, Nelson Azuma from Ghana. If you want to hear your name on the show, please send an email to PCUSA@voanews.com or like us and leave a comment on our Facebook page. Well, back to you, Carrie Hessler Radlett, director of the Peace Corps. Let's talk about some structural changes that have taken place at the Peace Corps. We know there have been a number of problems that beset the Peace Corps. Some of our international listeners might not know about that, but under your leadership, you have brought about some important structural reforms. Talk about those.
Sure. Thank you so much. You know, as part of our 50th anniversary, which we talked then, we really felt it was an opportunity for us to reflect on our agency and think about how we needed to change to prepare for the future. And so around our 50th anniversary, we conducted a comprehensive agency assessment that pointed towards a number of reforms that would make our agency stronger. And they can be grouped around four major topics. The first is improving the quality of our support for volunteers. And this includes medical care. This includes safety and security. And this includes the quality of our technical training and program support that we give our volunteers so that they can be effective in doing their jobs. And an example of this is our TEFL certificate program. Because so many of our volunteers teach English, we felt it was critically important to create a strategic partnership with the TESOL Association of the United States, which is the Teaching English as a Second Language. It's an organization that oversees all English teaching as a second language in the United States. And we look to them both in terms of best practice and evidence in what works best in teaching English. But also a number of our volunteers expressed that they wanted to go in and make this their career. So we've been working really hard over the last couple of years with them to create a certificate program. So now when a volunteer teaches English in one of our Peace Corps countries that has a certificate program at their end of their Peace Corps service, which is 2 years, they receive a TESOL certificate, which is a phenomenal certificate. It is recognized by a number of schools and universities, but it's akin to a master's degree program. So this is a good example of a strategic partnership with a technical partner that not only provides a benefit to the volunteer in terms of his or her future career, but also really strengthens the quality of our technical work. The second component of our reform was really around using data to guide our decision making to make sure that we are delivering the greatest impact we possibly can against our three goals. And I mentioned earlier that we have a very rigorous process for determining our footprint and our allocation of volunteer resources and actual money based on a number of different indicators. And we are working really hard to make sure that we are doing our best to let data guide the decision making that we are doing every single day with every single decision as much as we possibly can.
And Carrie, in terms of how to evaluate effectiveness of the Peace Corps volunteers' work, you obviously, you know, need to be able to measure their work on the ground. How do you ensure that these Peace Corps volunteers are veritable agents of grassroots development in the various countries they work in?
Well, that is part of our effort to use data to guide our decision making. Part of that is the development of new tools and approaches where we can gather data on the effectiveness of our program in partnership with others. So I mentioned our strategic partnerships around English education. We also have strategic partnerships in all of our technical areas. And we are working with technical leaders in each of those programs, education, health, community economic development, to ensure that our volunteers are being evaluated against the same development indicators that our partner agencies in the U.S. government are using, but also the same indicators that our host partners are, so that we can see exactly how the work of a volunteer in a community contributes to development results, both for, let's say, if it's an agriculture volunteer, how we're contributing as part of the U.S. government Feed the Future food security program, because we are working in alignment with that, but also how in Senegal, our volunteers are helping to contribute to the Senegalese food security results. So we have tools. We have a volunteer reporting tool where volunteers on a quarterly basis report their activities and the results of their activities. And we put a lot of thought into how we do that.
And quickly, before I turn to my colleague Tran Mee for another question, you talked about the goals of the Peace Corps and how two of them are really bridge building, you know,
yes,
both in the country and then back here at home. So I'd like to know how that's going. That is, how would you assess their impact here in America?
You know, it is hard. It is hard to evaluate the impact of a relationship. But I would also say that I think that the most important impact of volunteer service, both in the country where they serve and here at home, is the relationship that is built between volunteers and their communities. We don't have great indicators for how you measure the impact of relationships, but what we do know is that it is the relationship of trust that volunteers build at the local level that gives them both the credibility to be effective in their development work, but also the insight into how they should do their work. And it's where human capacity building, the development and nurturing of potential happens. And that is long term, because what we are really in the business of is human development. And human development takes generations in some cases to really see the impact. So by putting in place some, I would say, development indicators, we are able to see how relationships that are built over time can achieve results, but it is built on the relationships. Back home, we have a hard time. Again, we have a hard time because what you're measuring is lives changed through their Peace Corps service. I mean, we
but
know.
But open minds.
Open minds. I mean, how
and
do you measure
affects
that?
U.S. policies,
exactly.
I would imagine, in the conversation we have in the United States.
Exactly. So, I mean, one of the ways we can measure it is just how many return volunteers are serving in, you know, our development or diplomacy community. And it's possible to count the number of people who are return volunteers. For example, we know that there are more than 1,000 return volunteers who are currently in the Foreign Service right now, in the State Department, and approximately, and this is an approximate number, 25% of the USAID staff are return volunteers. So that's one impact. We're the farm team for our development and diplomacy community. But even more than that, our return volunteers come home and they bring with them their global outlook. And that lasts a lifetime. It goes with them wherever they are. So if they're a school teacher, they're talking to their students about what they learned in the Peace Corps. But they're also talking to them about tolerance and about the importance of diversity and inclusion and mm-hmm. Why it's important to reach across boundaries. Those things aren't measured. But I think, actually, those are the most important results of Peace Corps service. We're trying to think of how we can measure, but it's hard to measure things like attitude change.
Indeed. Well, I'm sure you're absolutely right. Let me turn to Tran Mee for some more questions about
Vietnam.
And Mandarin.
Yes. Okay.
We have questions from our Mandarin service
one
as well.
One more thing about Vietnam. Can you please just touch base a little bit more on the significance of Peace Corps' presence in Vietnam?
Yeah, you know, it is, I think, highly significant. And I think what it really represents is a total normalization of relationships. Given our history, the fact that Peace Corps, which is a program where we're going to be having Americans live and work alongside Vietnamese in communities, is really an important step. And it represents, it's actually the manifestation of the complete and total normalization of relationships between our two countries.
And as one of the main goals is to tackle pressing needs, what are they in the case of Vietnam?
to tackle present needs? Well, their most present need that they've asked us to help with is English education.
Okay.
You know, English is, for better or for worse, the language of trade, of government, of travel. You know, it's so interesting to me when I travel, and I travel extensively, to be in an airplane flying internally within any country, and I probably am the only English speaker on the entire plane, and you have a totally local, you know, crew, and you hear the pilot speaking to their crew in English. Okay. And when they arrive at their destination, they speak to the ground crew in English. So, I mean, English is the language of the world. And so, you know, countries like Vietnam and indeed many countries around the world understand that if they're going to engage with the rest of the world, there needs to be a common language. And English is that language.
Any challenges or obstacles that you are concerned of?
In Vietnam?
Yes.
Not that I've identified now. I'm really excited about it. I'm very optimistic and really thrilled that the government is prioritizing this. They are encouraging us to come back quickly and get our implementation plan settled so that we can begin work right away.
Let me ask you a question that was put to me by our Mandarin service about the Peace Corps volunteers in China. What do they do besides teaching English?
They are there mostly to teach English, and they work in universities in China, actually. China's a somewhat unusual program because all of our volunteers are in universities, and sometimes they're teaching colleges, sometimes they're polytechnical colleges, but they are all at the tertiary level, and that's unusual. I would say one thing, and that every volunteer does more than just their job because they're providing additional support and help to their communities. And in China, because they're working in universities, they're often living in a dorm. It may be a teacher's dorm, it may be a dorm with students, but that's their community. And so they are very actively involved in community, doing things that are important for the community. So maybe it's a recycling drive, or maybe it's a girls' leadership club, or maybe there's technology camp. All volunteers within their community identify other needs and interests on the part of their community above and beyond their job, and that's what they will work to do.
Certainly.
Now, we are supported in this through our Peace Corps Partnership Program, which is a fund that we have for small grants for community-led activities. So our volunteers can apply for a small grant and lead a, you know, girls' leadership camp or any kind of activity that is wanted by their community. Our main requirement is it has to be community-led, and there needs to be a community contribution.
We understand from our Mandarin service colleagues that China has new NGO rules that call for organizations to adhere to party leadership. So in that light, what is the biggest challenge or obstacle for Peace Corps volunteers in China?
You know, we're a government agency, so we're not bound by those rules. I mean, we have bilateral relations that govern our relationship that we have. We have a very strong partnership with CEAIE, which is the organization. It's a, you know, government agency that oversees the work of Peace Corps. They recognize the importance of our program. You know, you think about the future of the world, and you think about just the population of China and the population of the United States and the fact that we're two global leaders, and it probably is nothing more important to the world than China and the United States being able to work together collaboratively, understanding each other's language and culture, and being able to find common solutions. So the government of China is very much behind our program, and we do not have to deal with some of those issues.
Okay. And before we close, Carrie, let's talk briefly about the Arab world, Muslim-majority countries. Given the turmoil and the tragic crackdowns after the democratic revolutions or uprisings in the Arab world, what can you tell us about Peace Corps in predominantly Muslim countries? Can you update us?
Yeah, we are in approximately 20 Muslim-majority countries, you know, everything from Indonesia to Morocco to Kyrgyzstan and Kosovo and Albania. We are in many Muslim-majority countries, and our programs are very strong, and we have excellent collaboration with our communities and with the local government. It's very important to us as a nation to develop strong and positive relationships with Islamic countries. I'm really proud that Peace Corps can play an important role. I think that the work that we do at the community level is critical. And let me just highlight that with a small story from my most recent visit to Morocco, which was just recently. I was there as part of our Let Girls Learn program. First Lady Michelle Obama was there, and she had a wonderful program with students, promising female students that included Frida Pinto and Meryl Streep and Aisha Cisse and a number of celebrities who are very dedicated to girls' education. So I was there as part of the Let Girls Learn program, and then I spent some time visiting our volunteers, and I visited Alice Carter, who is 87. 87, our oldest volunteer.
Wow.
Just proves there's no age limit to the Peace Corps. And she's working in a youth center.
Oh.
And she's a dynamic woman. She is the most amazing person, you know, one of the most amazing people I've ever met. But she was working in a youth center. And all of our volunteers in Morocco are dedicated to empowering the next generation of young leaders. And Morocco, as you know, is a place that is really important to our nation and to the world in terms of it's a stable country, it's a democratic country, and it's very important to us. So Alice was there, and there's a young man named Taufik who was visiting, and he was, you know, one of the young people that she is teaching, and she actually teaches him poetry. She does English education, but she does a lot around environmental awareness and climate change. But really what she's about is empowering the next generation of leaders. And Taufik told the most beautiful poem that he had written, in, you know, with Alice's help. And it was all about hope and promise and how he believed in himself as a leader and how there had been times in his life previously that he felt he had no avenue for making a difference in this world. But now he sees that his life is important and that he has the power and the potential to be a leader in his community. This is all conveyed in a poem. And it just was such a beautiful vision of 87-year-old Alice and 17-year-old Taufik and his poem that really expressed so poignantly the promise of youth, especially in that part of the world. It was wonderful, and it just made me so happy that we could be part of that.
Jordan, still there?
No, sadly we are not. We had to pull up. A year ago.
Unfortunately. Any other country you want to focus or highlight? In sub-Saharan Africa, for example, probably one of the traditional venues for Peace Corps volunteers.
Sure. Liberia was another place that I had visited, a country where we've had a long history over the years. We had to leave because of Ebola. We were happy to be back. In fact, we just had a swear in more than 45 new volunteers. I'd like to highlight just again, because we have been in Liberia for a while, it's possible to see change. And this is a Let Girls Learn story. I met during my first visit there, which was probably in 2012, a volunteer named Charlene Espinosa, who was a teacher. And what she noticed, the first moment she walked into the classroom, was that boys outnumbered the girls 2-1, and that the girls were not speaking up. They were ill-prepared, and they lacked confidence. So once she had developed relationships with them, she asked them what they needed, and they said, well, we really need to be able to prove to our families that we can deliver economic impact, and that we are capable of an investment in education ourselves, because right now we're not able to be active in class because we are doing all the domestic chores while our brothers are able to study because our parents don't think that we're worthy of an education. And so Charlene and the girls started a small program called Bosh Bosh. Through a Peace Corps small grant, they bought 5 sewing machines, and they started creating beautiful bags, Kindle covers, laptop covers. The president of Liberia now covers her laptop in a Bosh Bosh creation. And these bags are now sold throughout Liberia, and even actually they have a few markets here in the United States. It has become a wonderful self-help program for girls. And they call their participants scholars to really emphasize the fact that these are girls who are dedicated to their education but are also earning money for their families, but also they're bringing it back into the community. So the first thing they did with their profits was they built latrines and then started supporting their fellow female students with scholarships. Now they have a shop in Monrovia. A number of the original Bosh Bosh scholars have gone on to university. It's an incredible success story.
Well, as we know, many analysts and experts have said that teaching girls is equivalent of producing, you know, economic development.
It
so
is.
This is a tremendous...
It's the single most effective investment we can make in development.
Well, Carrie Hessler-Radlett, Director of the Peace Corps, we can't thank you enough for coming in and sharing your terrific insights with us about a wonderful program.
Thank you so much. What a privilege to be here.
Press Conference USA on the Voice of America was produced in Washington. Thanks to Anna Zalewski for booking our guest. Our engineer was Wagner Roberts. And joining me on the program was Tra Mi, broadcaster in VOA's Vietnamese service. I'm Carol Castiel. Join me again next week for another Press Conference USA on the Voice of America.